the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 277. Now I see, whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. 277.
Thank you. us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, Have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Let us pray. A most merciful, long-suffering, gracious, holy, almighty, just, sovereign Lord God, three in one, one in three, one substance, one divine holy essence, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, we bow to worship this evening hour, but pray for living grace to be in our heart by the Holy Ghost within, that we may truly worship thee in heart. We may fall down with living desires and breathe forth our requests unto thee, and that thou wouldest, by thy grace, thy matchless grace, fill our mouth with those arguments, and that we may, Lord, plead thy name, Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, thou Son of God. For in thee dwelleth all the fullness, that is God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that thou dwellest, who dwellest between the cherubims in the bosom of the Father, shine forth, and who is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, the majesty of God. And as an art, as a, in thy priesthood, as a lamb slain in the midst of the throne, thus we come, pleading all thou hast done and said. Thy dying testimony is our hope, Lord. We plead thy dying grace, thy dying hour, thy dying love, thy dying agonies, the awfulness of thy sufferings, and the willingness to take on the reproach that our sin is. What has our sin done? O Lord, not only has it destroyed us, it would destroy us were it not for grace, but it certainly has impoverished us. But Lord, it wounded thee, brought thy soul down to the lowest place. Help us to flee from our own will, our own ways as from a serpent. We come to thee, Lord Jesus, for thou hast triumphed. Thou hast overcome, thou hast conquered the dominion of sin forever in thy church, in thy people. Oh, that we may know something of the drawing from the well of salvation to bring up from the deep well of love and grace in divine exercise and prayer. Lord, the sweet mercies of thy victory and thy overcoming, that we may drink that living water. But Lord, we think of the woman at the well, we think of the well of Bethlehem, we think of the wells of salvation, we think of the wells of beer. But O Lord, thou didst say to the woman, he that drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but the water that I shall give him in sovereign touches, sovereign love, sovereign mercy, sovereign blessing, shall never thirst. O Lord, this living water we ask, as the woman did, and she received it. Lord, it comes with thy voice, it comes with thy blessing, it comes with thy word, it comes with thy showers. So we pray thy mercy on us as we gather round thy word. Do remember us now, O Lord, this evening hour. Lord Jesus, can I pray that thou wilt be exalted in our lives as a prince to rule over us and a saviour in reality to draw us to thy bosom and deliver our feet from all the snares and bring us into heaven at last as our Lord and our saviour, a prince and a saviour, to be our captain and our head, and to know thee as my Lord, my God, my Redeemer. So we pray with Joseph Hart, let thy cries and groans be rehearsed by the Spirit in our ears, that our hearts may be ravaged at all that thou hast done for us. Lord, thou hast stood in the place of condemnation for such worthless, useless, solemn creatures that we are, ignorant, darkened so often, unbelieving. Thou hast stood in the sinner's place. Open up these precious things to my soul more and more. Lord, in my place, let the friends know it to be in their place. Thou hast stood there to die, to be condemned and hung and sagging upon the cursed tree. But thou didst overcome. Death could not hold thee, and it will never hold those who were in thy heart, in thy bosom, when thou didst utter, "It is finished," and yielded up thy life unto thy Father. What an obedience, what a pattern, what a glory. Help us, Lord. We're poor. We're not pleased that we're poor. Some folks, Lord, might be pleased with their poverty and think it's grace. But I'm scared of my poverty, Lord. I'm frightened of it. It's not good. It's a solemn reflection of where we are in the journey. Forgive us, but we are by nature prone to ill. By nature we are bankrupt. But all the fullness of grace that overcomes, that supplies. Lord, our debts paid. Oh, that we might know something more of it. This is what we come to thy house for, to see the ransom price of thy blood and of thy love to flow, in knowing that all has been answered for, the poverty, the sin, the corruption. Lord, the heart wandering, the contrariness of our own will. O Lord, our laziness spiritually. All these things, Lord, paid for fully. Please help us. Help us to believe. We need thy Spirit to believe, Lord. We need thy grace to believe. For by taking thought and by head knowledge of religion, we cannot add one cubit to our stature, the standing of our soul. I like that word spiritually, Lord. I know that it is true outwardly, but by taking thought we can do nothing to our soul. We wait for thee. We look to thee. we draw from thee. So remember us now as we gather. Dear Lord, if nothing's done this day, there's just one thing I ask. Be made attractive. Be made a blessing. Be made knowable. Be made lovable to poor sinners' hearts, that we might, Lord, take up thy reproach gladly and follow thee. So remember us now. Bless this house of prayer. Remember thy servants that come here from week to week, time to time. Bless the ministry of the word. Remember us this evening as we gather round thy table. O Lord, it is a solemn yet sacred place, and it is a table for sinners, Lord, for sinners. Thou didst not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Not just sinners, sinners to repentance. That is what thy table is for. And we would do it in remembrance of thee. Grant help, Lord, and all things to be done in thy fear and decently and in order. Remember the dear deacons here. Bless them in their labour. Strengthen them. The church, the congregation, be near them. Remember all those in affliction, pain, suffering. Remember aged friends among them, those unwell. Remember younger friends going forth in life. Go before, provide and bless. Call them by thy grace. May thy fear be in their heart. Remember the children, the sweet babes. May there be heirs of glory. Bless the Sunday school and the instruction, and strengthen our friends that give that instruction, and bless thy word. Remember every special case, widows, widowers, those in bereavement, those in loneliness, those in particular distressful circumstances, those with deep sorrow, those in deep soul exercise, and those who might be, and we so often are, careful and troubled over many things. But Lord, there is one outstanding thing that is needful. Direct us by thy compassion unto thyself. So remember this house of prayer, and what we pray for this hill of Zion, we pray for Zion at large, our own group of churches. Remember the editors of our magazines, the secretaries of our societies. Bless them in their labours. Thy servants on the walls of Zion this day, one this evening at Horem, remember him, grant him thine anointing. And Lord, return in power in the ministry. Remember thy one church in the earth, the missionaries, where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Many in deep places of the earth, in war, conflict, persecution, deprivation. Lord, and where is that awful genocide going on? Make ways of escape. And the troubled regions of the earth, Lord, we think of the news of the earthquake and so forth. Have mercy on thy people where they be, and this poor earth, and remember men are but dust, Lord. Have compassion. And Lord, remember us in the nation. Undertake for us in the coming election. Raise up men in our parliament who will know what to do. Undertake for us at this solemn, awful time. Bring us as a nation to repentance. Touch our Queen. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage, religious, civil liberties, freedom to worship. O Lord, we thank thee, bless thee, praise thee for all thy mercies, thy kindness, thy goodness. O Lord, thou art so long-suffering, so forbearing. O Lord, please, may we know thou art love to my soul. Oh, we must acknowledge thy wonders, just sparing mercies, preserving mercies, protecting mercies. supplying mercies. Give me a thankful heart. Give me a contented spirit. Only when the way is rough and the coward flesh would start, let thy promise and thy love cheer and animate my heart. We acknowledge every mercy. Now, Lord, what wait I for? Help, Lord, grant blessing. Come, plead thy name before the throne, thou knowest every case, every heart, every exercise. And thou knowest those who are dead in trespasses and sins, dead in formality. Lord, that we have to live with thee. We can judge no man and would not. We ourselves have yet to be brought to thy bar. But oh, may we see Jesus drawn, washed, sanctified, made ready, prepared. Know thy robe, behold thy face with joy. Remember us then. Lord, undertake for us. Come, I plead thy name before the throne. Lord Jesus, anything I may have omitted to ask, any special case, do make up in giving. Come, Lord Jesus, come, 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 come. Amen.
Hymn 706. Gracious God, thy children keep. Jesus, guide thy silly sheep. Fix, oh, fix our fickle souls. Lord, direct us, we are fools. 706.
In complete dependence upon the Lord, I would draw your attention to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and the first part of verse 7. 1 Peter 2, the first part of verse 7. Come to you, therefore, which believe he is precious. 1 Peter 2:7. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious. I don't know whether to say or not really, but I didn't really take the word this morning that was laid in my heart. It was a word in Colossians, and the word I took this morning, I have to say, did lay in my heart also. But I don't feel it was particularly given, but I ventured with it. And therefore, when we walk the path of disobedience with the Lord, we lose things. In the conversation at lunchtime, around the table, I uttered these words, and they seemed to take hold of me. I could not go back to Colossians. I couldn't feel to continue with the word in Hebrews this morning. I venture with this as it seemed to drop in. It was just what I needed, really. But the word really here is speaking, as Peter does, of the stone. That is the context. Here he speaks of coming, the church coming unto a living stone. And he speaks of us as being his people, as lively stones, living stones, exercise stones, stones that have souls, living stones, being built up as a spiritual house with him. But he speaks of the chief cornerstone and quotes from Isaiah 8 and Isaiah 28, which are well known to us, which the prophet speaks, says, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, something to rest on, something to build on, a stone, a tried stone, a proven stone, one that was tried, one that knew what death was, one that stood the fiery test, and one that overcame." There's a proving. Christ has proven himself for his people in overcoming all things. And he says, and he himself, of course, tried, like his people are, by experience, and a precious cornerstone, a bearing stone, taking the weight, and a sure foundation. In Isaiah 8, as he quotes in the epistle here, "He can be a stone of stumbling, but that I will leave." But you know, many of us do stumble. We read in Romans 10, did we not, about the Jews. They fail. They do not believe. They seek their own righteousness. You know, how are we before God? Friends, how are we? What are we doing before God? How do we view God? What do we know of him? You see, the simplicity of living faith given the Lord our righteousness. It's receiving. You know, he speaks of the word nigh thee, in thy heart, in thy mouth, the word of faith. It's the grace of God working. Friend, and it is a sovereign, fearful thing to come to chapel, but a blessed thing if the grace of God is working in our hearts. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, Christ's righteousness, not my own. What does he require of us? Is your religion one of what I've got to do, how I've got to be, what and how I've got to stand? Well, that might be a part of it, but behold the Lamb of God, what he's done when it's conveyed to the soul and comes in. What a foundation to lie on, the finished work of Christ. What a hope to build on, the Lord our righteousness. You know, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But what is this believing in the text then? I move on from the context, because that's where the root, the word unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious. He is a precious foundation. He is a precious cornerstone. And he's a living stone, and we're coming to him as made like unto him as living stones. But this believing, it's not easy, is it? It's the gift of God. Are you exercised for faith? The simplicity of faith. You know, the man at the well, not the well, the Bethesda's pool, he had faith to wait. Why? You could say it was a natural faith. Well, I believe it was a living faith, but the provision by God was there. That angel came from heaven, and he waited, and he waited, and he waited. Friend, it's horrendous, really, isn't it? You think of it, all those years. But the provision was there. The healing was there. Are you waiting at the gospel pool? Are you waiting in the word? Are you waiting at the throne of grace? Are you waiting at the Redeemer's feet? It's there. That's the provision. And yet the man couldn't get to it. He couldn't get into it. Another step down. God ordered it. When the angel, and he was from heaven, he couldn't have come from anywhere else. When he troubled the water, the first one to leap in or to get in, whatever the mode was healed. Poor man couldn't do it, you know. There's someone in this chapel who feels, I can't believe. It's no good. I've tried. I've tried to behold him. I've prayed. I've wept. I've mourned. I've looked for him. I've searched my heart. I've done everything I can. And there's nothing. I can't reach him. He doesn't bless me. He doesn't speak. Friend, what a wonderful account is the man at Bethesda's pool. He never did do what he was trying to do. Jesus came where he was. You know, and that is a wonderful description or shadow of the glory of his sufferings. He's done everything. He came where we were at the judgment hall. He came where we were to be condemned. He came to stand bearing our sins. He came to die. We've got to die. The just for the unjust. But the glory of his righteousness. Friend, it's not about a man dying. It's the Son of God that died. All right, yes, I'll acknowledge deity cannot die, but in the humanity, in the soul, he died. But he was one divine, glorious person in a union never to be dissolved. And therefore the human and the deity were joined and became one person, one redeemer, one Lord, one victorious overcomer, and yet one sufferer, all in the same person, making atonement for sin and groaning under the load of our wretchedness. You know, that God who hates sin, what love
to bear its reproach. And that's his people's sin. Now that is love. Unto you therefore which believe. Oh, I do not love that hymn. Could I but believe, then all would easy be. Do you know that's true, isn't it? That's what you feel. I would, but cannot. Lord, relieve. My help must come from thee. That's divine teaching. And if you know that, you're under divine teaching. You know, he goes on, doesn't he, John Newton? I would but cannot love, though wooed by love divine. No arguments have power to move a soul so base as mine. I would but can't repent, though I endeavour oft. This stony heart can ne'er relent till Jesus makes it soft. I would but cannot rest in God's most holy will. I know what he appoints is best, yet murmur at it still. You know, what did God say through Zechariah, or showed Zechariah? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's a humbling work. If you're a child of God, you're under this humbling, dependent work. You're depending on the Lord. While others can come and go in religion and talk big things, you have to be quiet. You're poor. You're needy. But are you waiting at Bethesda's pool? Are you waiting still? You're waiting in the right place. If you're waiting at the feet of Jesus, if you're pleading in the name of Jesus, pleading his blood, pleading his merit, pleading his dying, you long for his groanings and his cries in Gethsemane and on the cross to affect your soul. Keep looking, keep praying, keep seeking. By and by he will come. You know, Paul writes again in Romans, and it's concerning the sad state of Israel. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Can there be mercy reserved for me? Mercy reserved for me. There is mercy with him. But unto you that believe, friend, by his Spirit. You know, the man with the sick child, the sick son, you know, the Lord said to him, most graciously and truly, all things are possible to him that believeth. What did the man say with tears? See the exercise. He believed that Christ could heal his son to a point, but he wanted to see it done. He wanted to receive the persuasion in his soul that it was going to be so. He brought him to him. He brought to the disciples first. All things are possible to him that believeth. The man's reaction was, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He felt both. He knew that Christ was the one only that could heal him. But would he heal his son? Would he show the grace? Why should he show the grace? Why was his son different to any other son? Why is your soul special to anyone else's soul? But your own case is special to you. It's your life. It's the fibre of your life. And you want the Lord. And you must have him. But there's nothing. We think of Elijah saying to his servant, when he said, go to look toward the sea. The Lord's answered by fire, but go to the sea. There was still no rain. He came, there is nothing. He said, go again seven times. There's a glory in that, you know. Seven appears in God's word as a perfection, some perfection number. God's order, it's God's appointment to go so many times, whether it be seven or 47 or 107, that I leave. But there's a perfect time, a perfect going to look, and then having to come back. You think of the exercise of disappointment when you keep going and looking and go to God's house and go home disappointed, or come away from the throne of grace disappointed. God's order, God's appointment. You know, they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Friend, you know, that does try my heart sometimes. You know, King Saul, he said, well, he couldn't wait for Samuel. Why should I wait for the Lord? You think about it. There's that in us, you know. But where would you go? Are you like Peter? Where else will you go? Where's your healing? You tell me where your healing is. Your living soul will have it from heaven, and he must have it from heaven, and he must know the Lord, and he desires to know him, and he's not going to go anywhere else. He's going to wait. My soul, wait thou only upon God. You know, people can say it's a lovely text. It is, but we're not told how long he's got to wait. My soul, wait thou only upon God, his Son. For my expectation is from him. There's an expectation, and it won't be cut off, you know. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Well, dear friends, the time of love will come when thou wilt plainly see not only that he shed his blood, but each shall say for me. And do you think that is just for someone who's never yet tasted it? Dear friend, a living soul, I know they might have tasted that love. But you know what a far off place his people get into after so much mercy. I believe his dear people get to those places worse than they've ever known before. Worse. They feel worse than they've ever known before. But that's light. That's light on their soul. Friend, the depths of the riches of the goodness of God. You think to what those depths have got to go down to how you feel and where you get to. But they're there. They're there. They're there. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, we read. A complete offering, a total suffering, a total judgment upon all sin. All sin. There's no sin in a man's heart for his chosen among his people, in your heart, if you're seeking him, that cannot be forgiven. Because the one that is not forgiven, a living soul, never seeks to overthrow a loving Redeemer. There's a difference, you see, between Judas and Peter. From that time forth, Judas sought opportunity to betray him. Well, Peter didn't. He didn't seek opportunity. He didn't want to. He never thought he would. How could he? But he denied him. Weakness of the flesh. God understands that. God knows. Christ prayed for him. Think of the grace in Christ's heart that prayed for Peter. But Judas sought, planned, schemed. It's a terrible thing. You're not planning and scheming the one you love, you know, against the one you love. Unto you therefore which believe. Friend, grace, all to believe. You know, a little pinprick of light. Mercy. Why do you go to the Lord? Why do you pray? Because with him is mercy. With him is a fullness of grace. With him is blessing to give. The sense of pardon in the soul. The blessing of forgiveness. What a blessing. Her sins, which are many, are all forgiven. That's why we go. That's why you hang on. That's why you pray. That's why you keep going again 7 times. It's worth, friend, it's, that's an understatement, that is. I was going to say that it's more than worth it, it's everything. You know, his precious atoning blood, what a shelter by faith. What a hiding place. I just glanced at a picture in a child's book of the blood-dawned daubed on the side posts, you know, and the lintel, you know, that is a reality. Are you pleading Jesus' blood? Friend, you'll be pleading it all your life. I am. And you long to know the life given in the blood of sprinkling. You know, when we speak of the blood of sprinkling and there's a purging, you think of all these things, but it's Christ's life sprinkled on you, given as a ransom. That's the glory. That's the wonder of the blood of sprinkling as Paul speaks of it. He spoke of it sprinkling in the Hebrews, on the book, on the testimony, on the altar, and everything was purged with blood. But, you know, it's the life of Christ upon us. That's the glory of the spiritual meaning of the sprinkling. He gave his life a ransom. The life was in the blood. A precious blood, a precious dying, a precious overcoming. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But you know, there are degrees of faith. You know, the Lord Jesus loved the woman of Canaan and the centurion. He commended their faith. He had not heard such utterances in Israel. Commended their faith. Yet who did he keep company with? Those that were doubting. Little faith. He was with them. They're the ones he kept company with. The poor of the flock. You wouldn't think Peter was poor. He was a natural leader. He led. But oh dear, what mistakes. What unbelief. His faith was strong one moment as he stepped out of the ship to go to Christ. And the next moment, it was completely lost. It's the gift of God. He couldn't keep it alive, could he? And why? His poor heart took notice of his surroundings. I say this so often because I feel it myself. We begin to look at everything around us is so discouraging, so trying. And you say, well, the Lord can't be with me. Look at this and look at that. And oh dear, look at my heart and look at the storm and look at my sin and look at my unbelief and look at my life and look at this and look at something else. The Lord, and we sink. Increase our faith. That is, the Lord Jesus was in company of those who he spoke to them as having little faith. Yet the two that appear in the Gospels where he commended their faith, well, they weren't with him all the time. You know, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You know, I don't know whether you realise the Lord Jesus called the poor. He called the poor. They were poor disciples, you know, that went with Christ. They were among the poor of the flock. But one was a tax collector. Look at poor Thomas, full of doubts. He was almost, you almost feel him to be a gloomy man. And as for the rough old fisherman, and so we could go on and on and on. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Are you a sinner? But what is precious? What is precious in the Lord Jesus? The first thing I would name is his blessings. And what greater blessing can he give to his people than his own life, that they might live. That they might live. You know, our sins imputed to him that caused Justice must overtake where sin is. And that is why Christ died. That we might live. That his people might live. Grace given to live. His righteousness imputed unto them. His own life. His own life for our life. Oh, what a sweet hope there is rises in the soul. And that's what you're after. The greatest of all blessings. To know he died to deliver you. That's what a living soul wants. Friend, and you may not have received it. But is it not precious? Is it not a precious principle? If you've received it, you know it's precious. And he is precious. But friend, is it not precious by desire? Is there not a reaching forth? You may look, there may be gold found in the river Cam. But you're going to go after it because you know it's there and it's what you want and it's precious. You may not get it, but you're going to go after it. But you know, we leave all that speculation. With God, there's no ifs and buts or chances. If the desire of the righteous shall be granted, you long for the preciousness of knowing he gave his life for you. It's precious by desire. You're after it. And the Lord said so clearly, Oh, that these might enter our hearts with life and power. He says, ask and it shall... Friends, don't overlook these common words that you hear in evangelical circles. Don't overlook them. Pray over them. The Son of God could not utter one thing that was not true. He would never waste his breath. He is God. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It is true, and you've got no further than asking. Keep asking. He has said, it shall be given. It is an appointed, set appointed time, and it's humbling to us. But who's taught your heart that he's precious? That life given, that blood shed, is it not precious? Look at the virtue of his righteousness. Friend, to enter glory with. You say, how can it be described? How do I understand about the robe of righteousness being put on, arrayed in as a bride adorneth herself with jewels and so forth, the bridegroom and so forth. How is it put on? Friend, it's when Jesus... covering is seen and known. It's when Jesus is near the heart. It's when he is made precious and his love is upon thee. His redemption is upon thy soul. There's the covering. It's when it's made precious to your soul. And when grace and his word adorns thee in thy soul, in thy heart. And then you feel the Lord is near. The Lord is near. It's what love has done, what love enters the soul, and it's upon you, and it's above you, and it's around you, and it's in you. It's righteousness. Faith, living faith, receives it in the heart. The preciousness of it in the heart. What the Lord has done. You long for it. You long for it. Friend, to be adorned and arrayed in Jesus grace, his dying love, his righteousness, what he's brought forth to give to his church freely, those spiritual blessings. Receive gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. You know, his healing mercies. Restoring mercies, reviving mercies. They're all found in the Lamb of God. I think I hinted this morning. By the way, I wasn't saying I took the wrong word, but it's a difficult thing to explain. I just said to the Lord I couldn't preach from the word he gave me in Colossians. That's why I ventured. I did have the word with me, but I did feel that I hadn't acted honourably before the Lord, if you like. I don't know how to explain it. But I'll come back to what I was saying. You know, his virtue of healing, reviving, restoring, it's in Jesus. David said, he restoreth. You see, that little personal pronoun. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. The Lord Jesus personally restoreth my soul. And he's willing to. And he must do. And he will. For he has died to put away. Have you? Restoration speaks of former blessing and losing it. We sink down into the miry clay, backsliding. He restoreth my soul. The grace, the mercy, the love to do it, the willingness to do it. Reviving. You may not be in a backsliding place, but you feel to be in a very deadpan place. Oh, how you need reviving. You know, by his grace he revives. You know, there's joy in heaven before God and the angels over one sinner that repenteth. And that doesn't just mean a once repentance. Repentance is a blessing that the church of God knows so often. They always repent. Friend, it's every day. Daily, says John Kent. I think it's John Kent. I repent of sin. Daily washing Calvary's blood. It doesn't mean that he does, but that's what he desires to do. It's a constant blessing. Why? Because repentance is love toward God. And it shows there's faith in the heart to plead his name and his glory and his friend, the matchless love of God. I'm wandering on now, drifting on from what I was saying. Seem to have come to this place, this love. The glory of his love. Forgiving. Friend, 1,000 cleansings, 1,000 washings. Yeah, you say, but there was only one washing, one blessing, all done at Calvary. All the glory was at Calvary. All was obtained. But friends, there's the flowing from the glorious fullness of God in streams. What love to groan, bleed and die. What love. What love to draw you. What love to make you pray. What love, is it not precious? Don't you long for his love? Why do you want his love? Why do you want him to love you freely in full righteousness and pardon? The glory of God is love in grace, forgiveness, putting away, overcoming, embracing, cleansing, washing. All the enactings of the Spirit are the love of God, the glory of God, the glory of God, that this redeemed soul may worship him in heaven. Friend, what love to make us long for his pardoning, embracing, fulfilling love, eternal love. Why was I made to hear his voice and enter while there's room? Well, thousands, well, I say trillions, and make a wretched choice, and rather starve than come. Friend, if you know some of us, well, all of us in a way, but some of us particularly know how wicked we've been, how near to danger and apostasy we could have fallen into, never to return, how close. But it didn't happen. The Lord stood surety. Friend, the thin line, Rahab's single rope, put in the window, the scarlet rope, put in the window, the line, where God snatched us back, called us back. You know, we're miracles of grace. What love, what compassion. You say, but can it be? Friend, are you on praying ground? Is he not precious? Friend, is not the throne of grace precious? Why? Is it just because you can pray? No, Jesus is there. That's the glory of prayer. Christ is there. It's Christ who's prayed to. And you're a gurgling sinner and blurting and blabbing out your groans, but they're received in by the Prince of Life, who himself has died and groaned in agonies, himself. The glory of the Word of God. Why? What's the glory? Christ is here, and you will find him here. Friend, you will find him in the Scriptures. It only wants, it only needs three or four words, and they shine and they enter the heart surprisingly, amazingly. It does something for you. It enters, and you won't lose it. I know it wanes, but you know, you will find it again. It'll come back. But I must also come to this. The wonders of the completion, the fullness, we could say, or completion of salvation. You know, there's a wonderful opening which you long for. You wish you could enter into that door. He hath done all things well, I'm meaning for me, or for you. But this must be by faith to be received. Because whatever stage you're in life at, near the end of the journey, on a dying bed, you could always look around and see your poverty and look at the disaster of your life. But by faith and grace alone, by the work of the Spirit, the heart is led up to Christ. Whatever your circumstances are, whether you're young or older, whatever you're in, there's always plenty to press you down and look at the gloomy scene. Oh, look at the mistakes. Oh, can Christ put everything right for me? The mistakes, the muddles. Can I say horrendous mistakes that still follow me, haunt me, overshadow me all the days of my life? There's something else. The fullness of his overcoming, managing. Friend, he's led you to his feet, and there is victory, and there is overcoming. As grace is given by faith, as the heart is enlarged. The preciousness of Jesus, love and grace, that's what you want, is love to overcome you. And you can see how he has obtained the victory. Thanks be unto God, the Father, which giveth, I know it doesn't say the Father, but that's the meaning. Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, can you find Christ attractive? Is he precious? Friend, his suitableness in all things, his suitability in all your need to supply it, to help you, to deliver you, to comfort you, to support you. to fulfill his word. Oh, that we could live nearer, closer to him. There's a living soul that says, oh, that I could lean on him more. Oh, that I could feel him here. Oh, I could trust him. Oh, that I could behold him. Oh, that I was more constant in faith. Oh, that I was this. Oh, that I was something else. Oh, fall down before him. Fall down before him. He's not far from many of us. Fall down and worship. Plead, pray, pray. A praying soul is near the Lamb of God. He's near his feet. You may not see it, you may not know it, but prayer given. Who knows if he will turn again and leave a blessing behind him. Not room enough to receive it. Unto you therefore which believe is precious. Now it's personal. It's got to be personal. Friend, there's only one who will overcome my corruptions. And I'm having to pray. I'm having to ask. There's only one who can deliver me and be with me in the hour of death, otherwise I shall sink. I'm crying to him, I'm praying. And I know he can do it. I know he can do it. But oh, I need him to do it. But sometimes I doubt. Think of the awfulness of doubt. Friend, it doesn't just bring me distress. It covers over everything that God has done for the soul. And yet we're full of it, aren't we? Aren't we? The Lord Jesus entered into that, you know. He entered into his people's condition. He entered into their sorrows. My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? Well, we can theorize, and I'm not saying that wrongly. We know it's because of sin. But he entered into it. He entered into the reproach. He entered into the sorrow. And he knew and what the hiding of his Father's face was. And you know what the hiding of God's face is. Christ has entered into that very thing. But oh, he has overcome. He's done all things well. Unto you therefore which believe. And this believing, friend, is by grace. Wait on him. Wait on him still. His promise surely he'll fulfill. Friend, you can't go wrong in crying for mercy, pleading Jesus' blood, pleading what he's done, naming him, crying to him, looking in the scriptures, wetting the Bible with your tears, asking for help. You can't go wrong. He will come. He must come. Those that seek shall find. Is he precious by desire, suitableness, anticipation, longing? So he is in blessing. See the connection. You know, he shall satisfy his poor with bread. See the hunger and thirst. And see the definite blessing of living bread given. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Although I believe that word means not just prior to receiving a blessing, I believe it means the thirsting for heaven all the days of your life, they shall be filled. Well, I will leave the word unto you therefore which believe. He is precious. You know, I've not spoken of his preciousness, have I enough? I don't seem to think I've done it, but his precious blood, his priesthood, his kingship, his dominion, his power, mighty to save, his omniscient arm, his will, his grace, precious. Friend, what a solemn thing. When we get to those places, we don't think he's not doing things well, he's not doing things right. Friend, I know it. I know it only too well. precious. Precious in his dying love. Precious in his victory. Precious, now he's in heaven. What a precious intercession. Friend, all he's enacted is with him. Now in glory, he is with him. He is God, the Son of God. He cannot lose any knowledge of his work below, his overcoming. Is with him. He has overcome. It's his person. Unto you therefore which believe is precious. Well, poor sinner. Sin put away. Sin washed. Don't you long for it? You can see the suitability. Precious gospel. Precious love. Precious word. Precious overcoming. Unto you therefore which believe. He is precious.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £925, for which we were very thankful. God willing, Mr. Sayers is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and there'll be reading services next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 184. Our fullness resides in Jesus our Head, and ever abides to answer our needs. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. 184.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.